got my dog shut down. This is not the time to wipe out my shoe. We have it now 24 hours away. I'll wipe out my shoe. I'm beginning to do it. However, I couldn't get up to the house for a while ago. I'm both in my memory and teaching ability and to see the topic and to deliver to you the complete sheer that was trying to do. I've chosen as my topic, theme of the sheer tonight, I've chosen the mitzvah meaning mother, the commandment that to appoint the king. And the Rambam begins, he gives us the law of Mechamisei and with the following words, we should copy it from the Gemara of Sadhana, from the Braithe, Shorish Mitzvah is Mitzvah Yitzvah 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 Yitzvah. But before I'll start interpreting the Rambam and analyzing the meaning, as he said, each word, each sentence separately, I would like just to make the following remark. I mean, it's a kind of a prologue to my speech. I was interested tonight so much in Yimi Miller because Malchus, within our viewpoint, within our frame of reference, is not just an institution. It's by far more than that. It is, when you speak about Malchus, we mean a way of life. And they use a philosophical term, a modus existentiae, a way of existence. It's a personal charisma and an inner endowment. It's a dimension of being. There are people who existentially think, in every motion of their body and in every grimace of the countenance shines through their majesty or the inner kinship which God has bestowed upon them. And those people are actually, unknown, clothed in rags, and simply treated with contempt by society. On the other hand, there are people, rich and prominent and powerful, known to many and admired by many, who existentially are ordinary, plain, bleak and gray people, notwithstanding the fact that from a political or social economic viewpoint, they control an empire. Yes, they might have achieved kingdom, but they still achieve kingship, Malchus. And they look at the heaven. But Malchus is a gift by the Almighty. The election at Israel as an Amzgulov is basically identical with the act of bestowing kingship upon Israel. The special, unique inner endowment of the Jew, and we all believe in fear. Because if one doesn't believe in fear, our whole history becomes a hoax, an absurd, nonsensical drama. We all believe in fear, and the special, unique endowment of the Jew, a fear of itself, in his inner majesty. To be a Jew means to live, to act, to feel, to think like a Jew. That is in Mamlechas Yisrael. And even the mitzvah pertaining to the election of a king, as a political monarch, and delegating to him great power, which was expressed in Shakespeare, Prince Tassim al-Hamelech, is nurtured by the idea of Malchus, of kingship, the Jewish king, the genuine king, whom God favored, who possesses inner majesty, Asher Yifchar HaDeshem HaKabed. The person whom you will elevate to the throne, the kingdom, should be endowed with charismatic kingship by God. Hence, the halachas pertaining to kingdom and to political monarchy reflect the various aspects of Malchus as a metaphysical idea, in which every Jew shares. The aloha translates the subjective experience as a kinship into objective aloha, a kingdom and not a political monarchy. Now, this is the problem. Now let us ask the first aloha question. It's an aloha question as well as a metaphysical question. It's an aloha question if we limit the question to political monarchy, to kingdom as a political institution, as a form of government. It's a metaphysical question. We apply the question to Malthus, to the inner majesty, to the charismatic endowment in the Jew, in every Jew. Namely, what are the objectives which the Melech is summoned to attain? What is the purpose of Melech as a political institution? What is the ultimate goal that the king strives to reach? For what purpose did the Torah tell us to appoint a Melech and to respect him and to abide by him and to subordinate ourselves to him? Since that's Melech, a Melech should be much for Melech. What is the purpose? The purpose, not all. What is it? As I told you, it has a lack of significance as far as the political institution of kingdom is concerned. Objective relevance, it has also a tremendous metaphysical philosophical relevance, which as far as the Jewish mission in modern times at present is, so we still have not abandoned the idea of a Melech king. It's one of the main Melechim's Melech. At least the Jew does not lay claim to the kingship, but the Greek is a prince, certainly. It means a member of the royal family. And I told you, it's not kingdom, it's not the political institution, it's not a gold Jews are concerned. Throughout the 1900 years, they lost. I mean, we were a dependent people, an oppressed people. And people are persecuted people. I mean, it's ridiculous to speak about political kingdom, but about the spiritual kingship of the Jews. And another thing, the aspects, if we find them, the capable of defining, the formulating exactly, the teller, the goal of kingdom as a political institution, will know perhaps to find out what our objective is now at present. So we are very much confused. Place in life, they are positioned in society, and particularly Orthodox rabbis, I mean, quite often perplexed about the toughness of the matter that they are summoned to pursue. I want simply to analyze the problem at a logic level and from time to time to reach out for the metaphysical components. Now, what is the purpose of appointing a king? The Rambam in Mishneh Torah, Perikalet Mechas Melochim, Aloha Aleph, doesn't say a word about it. It's a Sholish Mitzvah, Mitzvah Yisroel B'Shach Mishon from Lorech. Limit Lemelech. The Rambam copies the Braishe Verbatim, I mean, without modifying the single two of them. Later, the Rambam speaks parenthetically about the objectives of the king, the program which the Torah prepared for the king, which he must follow. For the Rambam Sefer HaMitzvot, when I asked Rabbi Klavan to prepare a Sefer HaChinuch, Mishnah Sefer HaChinuch, I mean, is it here or not? It is not that, Sefer HaChinuch is not that, it's too old, it's here or not, I don't know. The Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvot, and Chinuch has copied the Torah of the Rambam, says, Mitzvah Tasei, Limneis Oleinu Melech, Kedei Re'achid Es Umaseinu, in order to unite the people. And why you didn't mention it, you omitted it? In Mishneh Torah, I don't know, I can't answer that, I don't know. But in Sefer HaMitzvot, it says it explicitly, the Chinuch has copied it, the Yireim, all many amistos from the Rambam on, have stated that the prime objective of Mili Melech, the appointment of a king, is uniting of the people. I was interested
Did you just get seen by the Rambam or many other Rishonim agree with him? Other Rishonim. It's very hard in the Melachim, right? There isn't much, I mean. There isn't much to be. There isn't much, the material is so limited that there isn't much to be guided by. But I found this in Shabbat, that problem is this. Jesus asked, according to Shmuel, follow Amo the Parshat Melech Mudra, whatever the prophet Samuel told the Jews about the king and his authority to confiscate, to take away property, eventually the king is legitimate on the part of the king. Confiscation of property is a legitimate act on the part of the king. But they asked why he was astonished for taking away the vineyard from Novotel Israel. They said many things. I'm not interested in the question now. But nor am I interested in the Tehutim, but four Tehutim. But the last presentation is, as Akos could not enjoy the privilege, which was expounded by Shmuel to the people, I mean, with regard to Shaul, because Akos was not the king of a whole Israel, of the closest Israel in its entirety. He only ruled 10 tribes out of that. It's exactly the Shitas Rambam, that the real king, the genuine king, whose authority is unlimited, is the one who united the people under his rule. This is the opinion of Rambam, united the people under his rule. Yeah. What is about, if we take a look in Tanakh, Chumash is this unity of the people, a condition of Tanya Kvanon for the enhancement of the office of the Melech, or is something mentioned about it? So if you're taking a look in my feet, and I see, when Yaakov spoke addressed himself to Yehuda,
I'll be able to.
Imparted the blessings to Yaakov, he said, Yishtachu l'cho b'nei imecho. When Yaakov addressed himself to Yehuda, he said, Yishtachu l'cho b'nei avicho. Rashi is not a critical form, because since Rizki was done with the wife of Yitzchok, is by saying, the whole household. However, Yaakov had two wives. If Yaakov had said, Yishtachu l'cho b'nei imecho, then he would have referred to the descendants of Leah, of Leah, to the b'nei Leah. But it may look as if it is being excluded, I mean, from the community over which Yaakov promised Malchus to the Yehuda. That's why he said, B'nei Avicho. It means the entire people, the entire Jewish community, the Knesset Israel, who will acknowledge, I mean, your kingdom and your authority. So from the day in Russia, follows them, of course, indirectly, that Rashi was concurred with the Rambam, with the first trait of Melech, of genuine Melech, of complete Melucho, of perfect Melucho, is the unity of the people and the universal acceptance and acknowledgement of the person as the king. Now, if there is an Aspire, which you read, I mean, on Shabbos Parshas Vayigash, from Yechezkel, you have a Chumash. ואתה בן אדם קח לך היצחות וכסיב עליו ליהוד אל בני ישראל חברו ולקח היצחות וכסיב עליו לישף את ישראל וכל בית ישראל חברו וקרא ויסמך עוד הלכות לכל היצחות וילחות עם ביודך וכן ועבדי דוד ועשיתי איתם לגי אחד בארץ באורל ישראל ומלך אחד יהיה לכולם למלך ונהיו עד לשני גאים וליחוץ עד לשני ממלוכת ועבדי דוד מלך עליהם וראה אחד יהיה לכולם ובמשפט הילכו וחקית הישברו ועוד איתם So the pasuk speaks of the ideal meluche as uniting the people and one king over one people. As a matter of fact, when Malchus Yisrael was split into two, when Aseret HaShoah was seceded from Yehuda and Binyamin, it was not just only on the secession in political terms, but the Malchus of Rehoboam, the Malchus of Yehoram, were impaired, very impaired, and will be restored. The Malchus of Rehoboam and Yehoram, these kingdoms will be restored. Malchus is David and Malchus Israel, the restored seen to their pristine beauty and be perfected with the arrival of the Melech HaMashiach and the characteristic trait of the Melech HaMashiach kingdom will be the unity of the people, one people under one king. I mean, this is exactly what the process in Vayigash. Vayigash says. Now I want to say something about it. Halachically means a king. Kingdom means sovereignty. And the highest authority. If there are two kings, the neither one is a sovereign in the full sense of the word. And he does not have supreme authority because there is another king which may challenge it. As a matter of fact, the Gemara tells us a story in Heretz that the Rebbe asked whether or not he would be obligated to bring Hasoir if he had committed Achet Chayot Malet Chabot. So the answer is, Ari Toros Chobi Bogal. Your authority is limited to Eretz Yisrael, you're the competitor in Babylonia, means the Reish Gemusha. Asher lo shivyachto l'Adishem Alekot, ממי שאין למעלה ממנו אלו עד השם הלכון. If above is sovereign, there is only one, God, the Almighty. However, if there is someone else who shares power with him, or is a co-ruler, controls a part of the people, so he is not called Nossi. He is not Asher Nossi Yachter Hashem Lakon. It's the same halacha as the Rambam has expressed in Sefer HaMitzvot, that the real objective of the king is Achdus Yisrael, the unity of the people. A split people, a melech of a split people, or a melech or two melechim, are not the ideal king. The institution of Malchus requires complete unity in universality. That's not the Mishnah Torah doesn't say a word about it. Now I want to say something How does the Melech, when you say the Melech should unite the people, tell me, I mean, you can unite the people in a variety of ways. You can unite the people by exercising power, I mean, only in the South. I mean, simply by tyranny, by taking away the basic liberty from the people, by robbing them of their voice, the government, I mean, by not consulting them. We can do that, of course, I mean. Russia is simply united, no doubt about it. But America is united, I don't know, but Russia is definitely united. United because one way speaks for Russia. When the people are heavy mind, I mean, it's very hard to get. And we have a rule, I mean, an old rule anymore. You should learn in advance. But I think that I'm afraid to express, I can't stand up and voice my opinion. I mean, your thoughts, you can bring about unity simply by the sword. By the INP. By the INP. We need to punish anybody who dares to disagree. Dissidents are thrown into jail. Of course, it's possible. But this is not the kind of unity of the Rambam understood when he spoke about the ultimate objective of Melech. Is La'achid et Tumasenu, to unite the people. How does the Melech unite the people? What is the instrument which, by virtue of which, he achieved this unity? What is actually the method of uniting the people? But it's very much charisma, it's a word which has been abused lately, I mean, very much. Charisma means basically, greatly, I mean, the inner endowment, that's what it means. Inner quality. A quality which is not extraneous, but it's the quality, so the positive quality, which is the part of the personality, but it doesn't mean, yeah, charisma is not good enough. I mean, by what does the United
States?
Yeah, why do they accept it? Of course, accept it. As a matter of fact, there is a problem, halakhically. Of course, the minui melech, the appointment itself, the formal appointment, the act of appointing, of electing the negative, is of course, minui melech is done by the Sanhedrin and the Novi. There is no Novi in the Sanhedrin place. It's a formal act by the Sanhedrin, but it does not go, they appoint the king. All right, but quite possible. They should be accepted by the entire people. They accepted that things should not be imposed from above by the Sanhedrin upon the people, but the people should accept them, I mean, voluntarily. I mean, there's got to be the choice. I mean, they're actually chosen by the people. I mean, the formal appointment, the minimum, is done to form by Sanhedrin. But Sanhedrin either consults the people, how I don't know, or the people is the agreement of the people, is the consent of the people. Quite possible, I don't know. Because again, I have no mocker for that. All I know is that the prophet about Yehuda, in Yankee of the Rebbe, he says Yehuda actually means Yuchel Achevo. What does it mean Yuchel Achevo? They'll acknowledge this. They'll accept this. They'll accept this. They'll elect this. It means actually Yuchel Achevo. It means the Knesset Israel should accept the king. Yuchel Achevo. They'll agree that you are their leader. They'll accept your leadership. What do you want to say?
I'll say the difference between a king and a democracy.
No, not democracy. I'm asking you not to elevate.
A king doesn't require a consensus.
I don't know. I suppose political theory, perhaps you're right. I doubt it too. But I'll say a lot I'm speaking. I don't know. I don't know. Perhaps it's necessary. It's unnecessary. I don't know. In my opinion, it would be that the Almighty told nation to select the Yeshua. The Yeshua and appointed. And the appointment of Yeshua was not only a successor of Meshe, and Meshe among many attributes had also the attributes of things. Meshe Rabbeinu Melech Hoya, which is Aloche. Just a minute. The Aloche is Meshe says, V'amadu to'e itse lisnei o'edo, lisnei lo'z rakein, v'lisnei kol o'edo. The Lozer in the presence of the Lozer in the presence of the entire community, with the Victor H. Taylor in there. This is the element you should appoint him. As king, as leader, as your successor, as the teacher of Israel, as the rabbi of Israel, and so forth. But that's the Lisney Toledo. So some interpret Lisney Toledo means Sanhedrin. the Gemara in Yume. Yes, you shall have it. But the Pasuk says, "V'nosata meitzola," which is bestowed, part of your. Splendor upon him, leman yishmu kol adavle, in order they should hear and should witness. I mean, the appointment of Yeshua, the election of Yeshua, everything. It would appear to Yitzchokin as if Yeshua was appointed not only in the presence of Sanhedrin, but in the presence of the Holy Spirit. The entire community, just a moment, of the entire community. And it makes a great deal of sense that the Melech is appointed by Sanhedrin, Midat Reish Yisroel, with the consent of the community. What do you want to say?
Yes.
Yes.
That it is the request
that
the public should involve
himself, nominate. What is the text on
between the
law? Yeah, but the prophet speaks not about Melech, but about the Sheikh. Meaning the Yonim. Meaning the Sheikh. I would like to know the text on between the Sheikh. Yes. It's Mishtaba. It makes sense. A great deal. All right, fine. The community should accept. And if the Klal Yisrael accepts him, the Klal Yisrael heals the genuine ideal. If one part of Klal Yisrael refuses to accept, his kingdom is in peril. It's solid. He does not lose the status of a king. Even the Rabbam has the status of a king. The Rehavam has. But the kingdom is not perfect. That's what they should say. Rehavam was a king. After all, you know how the Yol treated him, with respect, yeah, with great mouth. However, all the halachas formulated in the Parsha Samela, in the book of Shmuel, did not apply to Rehavam because his kingdom was not perfect, not complete. His kingdom was impaired because he only ruled Benjamin. But somebody wants to say something.
I wanted to ask
him,
must it be unanimous or rather not?
Most probably, Rob, that is not ready for it. Most probably. Unanimity will come up with the better rights of the Polish parliament in the Middle Ages community. It doesn't matter. The better rights of the Polish parliament. The one individual who has dominated by the place in that's ready for it. With regard to Milchama, with regard to the declaration of war, we know in Rambam, that's Reish Yisroel. The consent with the approval of the major part of the nation. Right? Now, what? However, there is a very strange Rambam. You may think the phrase, but the Rambam was never indulged in phraseology. And the Rambam was very precise. And the Rambam says something, I mean, parenthetically. He says, please. The Rambam says, the Melech also wishes that she puts, the Melech should not drink intoxicating beverages. General and Lachish to Yahin, and Yahisid Batero, who gets off in Israel by Yin Valilo. The Henry shot the Noshim up in the Yahisha Rakas. Shenema al Tikin Noshim Shelecho, the Rambam Perdil with the Malachim and Lachim Vos, al Astora Salim Vigido Tero. Shenema al Yosu Levovei. Big Vasor Salim Vigido Tero in Rabbi Shimon emphasized. Gorestein and Detroit. However, the Rambam doesn't actually accept Rabbi Shimon's view. We don't pass from Dora time of the Khor, but the Rambam uses Alasora Salez Ikpido Tero. Shenema Velu Yosu Levovei. Then the Rambam adds six words, very strange words. Shelidei who lays all to how Yisrael. His heart is the heart of the entire community. The Tikkoch, Dofike, Apostle, the Terah, that's why the Terah, but that's why the Alokhe has required of the Melech absolute, unlimited commitment to Terah, Yisam Sharon, because his heart, his mind, embraces the power of Israel. Shalide Slish. Shalide who late holy poet. What does that mean by the word Shalide who late holy poet? What does that mean? Shalide late holy poet. It means he's there. So many are dependent upon him. The welfare of the country depends upon him. Then the Ram would have used a different phrase. I mean, Ram was not short of vocabulary. He would use a different phrase. Will you do me a favor and you let me go on, I mean? Otherwise, I'll tell another thing might be doing you good thing. I don't like that. If you are very curious, you'll just leave it. What does the Ram mean? A similar phrase who you have in Rabbi Yehuda Levi in Kuzan. Rabbi Yehuda Levi speaks about this singularity of the Klal Yisrael and the unique role that Klal Yisrael plays in the world. So there is a famous aphorism that he has formulated. שישראל דומי תלייז ביבורים לרייז חילי ולרייז חילי אין הסקטים בגביל עליך ישראל is the heart of the world experiencing the first one to experience pain to suffer pain and the first one to experience joy and happiness. What did Rabbi Yehuda Levi mean by it? What did Rabbi Yehuda Levi mean by it? She destroyed the woman to raise the Ivorim, raise Chele, or the rain of Asia, raise Simcha, the rain of Chele, the rain of Simcha, who could die. It means that Yisrael shares not only in its own trouble, not only in its own suffering, but Yisrael shares in the suffering of mankind as a whole. Our concern is not only for ourselves. Now you know the main anti-Semitic charge against Jews is that they are concerned with ourselves. They are concerned with themselves specifically. This is now the newest charge, which is held at us, not only in the United States, but all over the world. The Jew is only Jewish charitable, he's generous, true enough, and he has compassion, but for his fellow Jews, for no one else. And this is untrue. Of course we are concerned first. I'm a patriot, we are concerned with our fellow Jews, no doubt about it. But however, Israel is concerned, the Jewish people, is concerned with the world as such. And we reflect, actually, the destiny of the world. And we are the heart of the heart of the Ivorim, of course. It's first to feel pain. Right away. Any strong emotion is reflected immediately by the heart, by the beat, by the pulse, by the blood circulation, acceleration of the pulse, a rapid heartbeat. Usually expresses emotional excitement, pain, fear, and so forth. And Yisrael is the heart, it is the sensitive organ in humanity which reflects both humanity's suffering and humanity's joy and salvation. I guess. Now, when the Ram says, she literally relates to Yisrael, what did the Ram mean? What did the Rambam mean, huh? It means he feels before the community actually has realized, for instance, that the latter is confronted with crisis, with distress. The Melech knows before the ordinary person, he realizes that he is encountering danger or his team, an enemy. And when the community is the community is suffers, oppressed, or enslaved, or humiliated, the Melech feels the pain. The Melech is his Sefer. The Melech Tom, something that is left, the heartbeat of every Jew. That's exactly what Rambam meant. Shiribe Yoleit for Israel. It means the Melech is the person who has compassion and shares in the suffering of every individual, of every member of the community. That's what the Rambam meant. That Rambam, Shiribe Yoleit for Israel. If not for the Kuzari, I couldn't have interpreted that. But the Kuzari throws the light. I mean, what really reached all Israel meant in the Divine Hymn. It's the Kuzari says, Sheyehude, Sheyehudi Boesh, Yisrael Be'elom, Kelei Be'evarim. The Melech is the heart. It's the most sensitive organ in the people, in the community. It reflects immediately pain or happiness, joy or distress. And the Melech is ready to help and to defend the people before the people realize that they are in need of defense or in need of help. And exactly, and here is where the Melech unites the people. People is united by what? If the Melech, merges his personality or his being with the big existence of hundreds of thousands of millions of Jews. Wherever a Jew suffers, his pain is reflected by the Melech, by the heart of the Jew. That's exactly what the Ram means, shall we be raised for Israel. That's how the Melech unites the Jews. And the Ram speaks about it. אין לנו גודל ממשר רבנו, ואין אבל אנחנו מהר, ללאים את לעשינו, ויזבל תורכם ומסום ופונסום וציפכם, כאשר יסו ראים ונסיינת. גרנת חורי עטפת, זה מלך הסתור לשטח, לראית ביעתי במהם, ודעתי של ראים לפורש בכבורת. גרנת עדרי ירד, וזרי יקב את פלויים ומחייתי יסו. What is this, the job, the task of the Re'eh? Is not just to take care of the flock, but to take care of every individual. Of every individual ship, of every individual land. Always denier, the Re'eh every year, the Re'eh Tabit Koim Hechi Yisrael. And that's exactly the task of the Melech. Not only to help the people as such, when the Torah is a Torah of people, community-wise, when the disaster which threatens is a national scope, but even when if an individual is in distress, the Melech should share in his suffering, in his pain, and help him. This is liberally solidified. This means la'achel desumoteinu. To unite the people. Unite by suffering to be the people. You unite the people. If the Melech is not isolated from the people, he's within the people, but he shares in everybody's travail and in everybody's suffering and everybody's distress. This is exactly what Melech means. And I want to add something else. When you say unite people, is it necessary for the Jewish people to do it, to be united? It is necessary, of course, for me to interpret. Of course. From a practical viewpoint, certainly, the unity of the people is indispensable for defense and for many things. But who spoke? There is one of the regimes who actually emphasized that unity of the people is important from a metaphysical viewpoint, not only from political, under political aspect. From a metaphysical angle is unity of people. The Rambam speaks about it. You know where he speaks? Yes, all right. Now I'm asking. Elton. No, here it was the Rei Dechot. The Rei Dechot is it. The same Rei Dechot also. One half bit. Yes. But the Rambam, that is Shem Berach of Avron Bakim. The famous Rambam. And the Rambam speaks about Knesset Yisrael. What is the name? What does Knesset Yisrael mean? Am Yisrael understands All right, but what is Knesset? What does it mean, Knesset? Knesset doesn't mean assembly, it means... What does Knesset mean? And the Ramban described there that actually Avraham had one son. Yitzchak had one son. I mean, Shmuel was not considered son of Avraham. Yes. Yaakov had 12 sons, 12 tribes. And from what prophet, Knesset Yisrael was suddenly divided. Knesset Yisrael, which was represented by one person, was suddenly divided into 12 persona, into 12 persons. And they together, as one entity, represented the Knesset Yisrael. To such an extent that according to Rashi, is Yisrael, Eretz Yisrael, was partitioned. According to Ramban, excuse me, it's not Rashi, it's Ramban, was partitioned among 12 people, in 12 tribes, in each tribe, each person got an equal share. For instance, Ruben Shimon, Yehuda, Yisrael, Zul, Nassol, and Tom Rosh, got equal share. Regardless of the fact that they were directly trying hundreds of years later, I mean, they differ as to the number of people, I mean, population, I mean, they differ. Because, what do you see, what do you infer from Ramban? Rashi Shita is, can create a tribe or a boy or a child or a child, so it means the Eretz Israel was divided, partitioned in proportion to the size of population of each tribe. Of each tribe, I mean. For each Yehuda, the larger population, his share in Eretz Israel was a larger one. For each Shimon, the very small population, his share was by far much smaller than that of Yehuda. And so forth from. The Ramban disagrees, most Rishim disagree with Rashi. Since Rashi is going to be more in one battle, yes, nephew. Rashi says no. Eretz Israel was divided among 12 people, divided into 12 equal shares. And the shame that had a larger population had to be satisfied, had to satisfy himself. I mean, that's it. A smaller area, I mean, in each individual, each household has, I mean, accepted a smaller, much smaller area. I mean, then for instance, they shaded with a small population. What is the controversy? What does the controversy revolve? What about does this controversy revolve between Rashi and Ramban? According to the Ramban, Israel as a people, thought, Abraham started out as the father of a clan, a family. Manasseh, Yisabeh, as they say, one of Achor. Yaakov, Yitzchak was also a family, a clan, nothing else. Yaakov, they got 12 sons, and Yaakov plus the sons, what did they comprise? A clan or a people? A clan or a people? A family or a nation? Is according to Rashi? No, on the contrary, according to Rashi, Yaakov and his 12 sons just formed a clan. Just issue basic for me, Tribal. When did the base Yaakov? I mean, turn into Aham? This Exodus, you see, at the time. But he shone when he gave up. According to the Rambam, so of course, I mean, the partition of the land took place when? With the Fiat Mitzrayim. Or be at all, it doesn't matter.
Yes.
According to the Ramban, it's not true. The land was partitioned when? Upon the death of Yaakov was partitioned among the 12 sons, nothing else. Because the 12 sons together formed the people. At the death of Yaakov. Before they were not a great people. A great people they became in the tribe. In the crucible of enslavement and oppression and distress and suffering. It didn't go there. But the day, we were already on the day on which Yaakov died. Why were they gay on the day which Yaakov died? For a simple reason. Because there were 12 people. Yitzchak Avraham alone, it was not a gay go there. It was not. Yitzchak alone, it was not a people. was an individual representing a people. Yaakov alone was not a people, an individual representing a people. The 12 tribes already symbolized the people. It was just a question of number. And you show me they got there. But the fact, as the entity of a people is concerned, is Yaakov's sons, the 12 sons, comprise the people. Why? Because according to Ramban explained, each son, Knesset Yisrael, means the confluence of unique talent, of individual spiritual yearning. It's a confluence of creative, many a time antithetic acts, and allegedly incommensurate attributes. Knesset Yisrael is a symphony of colors. Is a symphony of sounds, a merger of many into one entity, and each tribe, each shehet, contributes its share. Knesset Yisrael embraces everything. You have 12 people, I mean, each one was represented in the Hoshem by a different power, different. Together it was a symphony of color. It's basically the Knesset Yisrael consists into one Knesset consisting of 12 diverse tribes. And this is unity. For instance, Yaakov told Yasef, O Musa Apar. So Rashi says, if I hadn't found you, if I hadn't discovered you, alive as I did now, I would have thought that I would have no share. I'll have no share in Leila Mabot. After the Musa Pam, I'll die only once, Leila Mabot. But I'll have a share in Leila Mabot. I mean, the Rashi is very strange. Why did Yaakov think so? After all, Yasef was lost. I mean, whatever happened to Yasef was not due to him. It was due to somebody else. Why did Yaakov blame him himself, I mean, for the loss of Yaakov? The answer is because Yaakov's job, Yaakov's task was to what? To beget 12 sons, and those 12 sons who will comprise the Jewish people. They will be within this entity, that community, small as it was, there will be a confluence of talents, of approaches, of thoughts, of emotions, of tefes ha-nefesh, of views, and all the 12 will be united into one entity. If Yasef had not been found, if Yasef had been killed, the entire Knesset Yisrael would have never arisen and would have never entered the historical arena. When Yasef was found, Yaakov knew that he has fulfilled his task, which was assigned to him by Hashem's law. So this means unity. It's not just a unity of number. It's not a unity as to quantity. It's not the unity just coming in for the census taker. More than that, it's a unity of antithetic, diverse elements. People who represent various talents, various commitments, various outlooks of life, diverse approaches It's a qualitative unity. It's a metaphysical unity. And that's exactly the job of the Melech, to maintain that unity. As a matter of fact, you know very well, we have always been, somebody said very well, if you'll ask about something in Yahadus, a problem. If you'll ask about a problem in Aloha, so you'll ask, what is the opinion of the Aloha? So you, quite often, frequently, you'll get the following answer. There's a Machlokes Aloha. And it's interesting, Machlokes Rishonim, or Machlokes Atanoim, Machlokes Amoraim, of course we accept one view, and we reject the other view. But this is as far as practice is concerned. As far as the quality of the view is concerned, both views constitute the It means, Yahadus has never believed in the Aristotelian principle that there is no principle of contradiction. If A is opposed to B, either A is right and B is wrong, or B is right and A is wrong. We said B and A may both be right. And that applies to people, to leaders. Each leader in Knesset Yisrael has represented a certain attribute. They're basically divine attributes. You find many divine attributes which are actually mutually exclusive. And we call up a Baruch Hu, Eish Sholem B'Mreimo, the unite attributes. Chesed and Gvura are two attributes which actually are mutually exclusive. They are contradictory. If there is Chesed, that cannot be Din. If there is Din, that cannot be Chesed. I mean, so that's what we say, Eish Sholem B'Mreimo. It means for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I mean, there is no contradiction between Chesed and Gvura. Chesed and Gvura may unite into one entity, what's called HaKabbalah Tiferes. We, I mean, with our burdens, with our frailties and inadequacies, and limitedness, and finiteness, cannot understand how you can take two attributes, which are mutually exclusive, unite them into one entity, into one perfect entity. But this is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is Shalom B'Mreimov. And Chazal say there, well, what is Shalom B'Mreimov? He reconciles Gabriel with Mechoel. Why should Gabriel Mechoel, I mean, quarrel? Because Gabriel represents Ish, the south of Ish, it means Din, Mishpot. Mechoel represents Mayim, which is Chesed. Is a Ish Shalom B'Mreimov. In heaven, there is no contradiction. There is no conflict. Being and Chesed merged into one Tiferet, into another Midah, into a great, I mean, great, beautiful Midah of Chesed. And actually, in that there is confluence of opposites. There is harmony of contradictions. And there can be a merger of incommensurate ideas. This is the opinion of Yahadus. And that is the Knesset Yisrael. It's a confluence of opposition, of opposites. It's harmony of contradictory characters, of incommensurate approaches. For instance, Yehuda represented Malchus. Yesei represented Kedusha. That Yehuda represented Malchus, you all know, because Malchus was given to Yehuda forever. This is the great gift which was bestowed upon Yehuda by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How do you know that Yosef represented Kedusha? But there is only one proof for that. Because the two Batei Mikdashim, which the Torah has singled out, one is Menucha, Kelebosem Elam Nucha, that's Shilei. And the second mishmigdash which they called Nachalo, Zeh Yerushalayim, both Batei Mikdashim were in the land of Binyamin. Batei Mikdashim, the Chelkei Shel Binyamin. Shilei, the Chelkei Shel Yosef. Shilei, the Chelkei Shel Yosef. Strange, the the two sons of Popper have a monopolized Kedusha. They are the representatives of Kedusha. The son of Leah is the representative of Malchus. Why Kedusha was given to the descendants of Popper? Because Chazal say very well, Chazal. Tzniyus Yeseiro, Nitnu Bigonov Shel Rochel. Rochel was very modest, humble, self-effacing, and so were her children self-effacing. Shol, as Baram Lupo Lehigigre, and he came back to the father, and inquired about that, whether he did not swear. He didn't tell him a thing about the Meluche. Because the most important piece of news, he could have announced to his father that he became king of Israel. He didn't say a word. Esther, in Esther, my dear, is the son of Esmeraldo. And so forth, and so on. So it means, in fact, the Tzmias is identical with Kedusha, self-effacement. And Yehuda is firmness, strength, the ability to admit a mistake, trustfulness, that's what's required of a king. Of a king is required that he should not only be capable of admitting a mistake, he should also understand that a human being is capable of sinning and is prone to sin, and he should be forgiven if the human being, the sinner, is ready to repent and come back and rejoin the fold. It's Kedusha Malchus. It's two different approaches. Two opposites. But in the Knesset Yisrael, they merge into one entity. This is what Ramban says in the Shalach. Chayisham. Knesset Yisrael. Confluence of opposites, of contrast, symphony of colors, of sounds which actually, I mean, are many times mutually exclusive. This is classic for us. And the Melech is the representative who he represents the unity of the classic for us, the qualitative unity, the metaphysical unity, what we call Mizukamideis. Mizukamideis. What the medieval philosophers called coincidentia oppositorum, the coincidence of opposites. This is the job of the Melech. And if you take a look at Gdele Yisrael, you'll find Gdele Yisrael also. Take, for instance, a person like the Vilna Goel, and take his contemporary, the Baal Shem Tov, who was a bit older than the Vilna Goel. The Baal Shem Tov, the Mezrich Amari, much was almost a contemporary of the Vilna Goel. Same age. I think that you are going to Titania. Bali Dvobo, you were at Lagerhead. I mean, the controversy, I mean, assumed sometimes very sharp and violent forms. Sometimes it exploded, I mean, and it told the Jewish people apart in Eastern Europe. Two opposites. The Vilna Goyen is more or less Mibnibonero Shel Rochel. Sneers Yisero Mizra today. Humble, modest, self-effacing, locked up in his epic. I was in the epic many years ago. Locked up in the epic, I mean, the windows closed. The blinds pulled down, I mean, there I had the candle at daytime, I mean, studying, I mean. You know, going, Sneers Yisero, didn't occupy any office, had no followers, didn't organize anybody. It's complete nausea. A complete nausea. And, on the other hand, the Baal Shem Tov, the Rav, the Mezrich Amari, I mean, were these the people, among the people, always accessible, I mean, trying to explain to the people, they spoke the language of the people, the plain language, the plain Yiddish language of the people, I mean, and they organized a tremendous movement. I mean, of course, there was a clash, a very violent, passionate clash. But later the Knesset Yisrael realized that the Goyen and the Miyazdei Hasidim is just Yehuda and Yisrael. They both contributed their share to the enrichment of Yehadis. And the representatives of that unity in diversity, of the coincidence of opposites, the heart which fills for everybody and shares in everybody's yearning and striving and pressing is the melody. And this is the process of negotiation. There should be one individual who should understand the entire people. His heart should be as wide, as big, as the heart of all people. And he should share both in the joys and in the distress of every individual of the community. This means le'achid es me'seinu. It doesn't mean numbers, it doesn't mean one government, it means perhaps as far as the idea of kingdom is concerned, me'muche, but as far as Malchus is concerned, the unity is of a metaphysical nature. So the Rambam calls Knesset Yisrael. He should represent the Knesset Yisrael. Now, what is next the objective of the king? The next objective. This is objective number one, but in objective number two. What do you say? The Rambam says, Shemamichi melech tilo, kolatis mishpot nuchamit. Shenema said only the Shafeinu Malkin. All right. Okay, Takashi, all right. Put Takashi for me. Don't close it. It was nice. All right. But the Rambam has enumerated two. Shem Amlichi Melech Tilo Lachis Mishpat in your family. What does it mean, Lachis Mishpat? What does that mean? It's not justice. What do you understand by it? What do you understand by it? No, now you're invited. You're invited to make
it. Keep law and order. Have to be a
problem. Don't you know?
No, but to keep law
and order. Partero Steve, I have a... You know, I never forget about that.
Keep law and order.
Tomorrow. Here is my treasure. This is my fixation. But I'll come to that. But a mela lasis mishpat. What does it mean, lasis mishpat? Simply, I mean, in literal terms, to resolve something, to resolve the entire... Lachis Mishpat, simply, to be aware and to resolve the entire, to adjudicate cases, cases, when two litigants come, I mean, you should render a verdict, Lachis Mishpat. Yes, correct. However, there is something else here. He says, Ulemali Soilum Tzedek, it's not only to resolve the conflict when this problem is submitted to the Nara. All right, then you don't need much courage to do it. I mean, if two people, I mean, two litigants appear before the Nara and they say, all right, we have a conflict, we have decided to appear before the king in order he should adjudicate the case, there's no need for fortitude and courage and heroism, I mean, in order to do so. You know, what is characteristic? Something is characteristic about the Jewish concept of Melech. Courage and heroism, I mean, in order to do so. You know, what is characteristic? Something is characteristic about the Jewish concept of Melech. What is characteristic here? Something is unique. What is unique? The two litigants are admitted to the king. You can't get them in now, I mean. A rob in a small town, I mean, does not receive anybody without an appointment, by appointment only. By appointment only? Isn't it so? Let us admit it first. I'm just as sinful as you are. Apparently, Rabbi Mishpat means that every baldin, every complainant, every litigant should have access to the king. It
he doesn't have access to this man. We have to make an appointment here. But of course, I mean, you'll never ever decide this. It means the mirror should be accessible. Everybody should be able to knock on the door and appear before the mirror. And if you leave the mirror, you'll find it. Schlangen auf aus der Wiener Schneien, Steinlöschen singen. Aus der Wiener! Schlangen was busy. He's building an empire. He's negotiating treaties of goodwill and mutual defense and economic and which were relevant, I mean, to the economy and to the defense of the land. We failed, we struggled, we started at the time. The treaties were right or wrong, a different story. But, and busy building a Bethan Rivers, constructing Bethan Rivers. Building his own palace. I mean, 7 years. How long did he build his own palace? Yes, good. And suddenly two poor women, I mean, which were held in contempt by the community, came with the story, I mean, about the child, a living child, a dead child, baby. Apparently they were not admitted to the king. They were not there, you are separating the people from the king. Last is nicht what means first. Yeah, there should be no barrier separating the king from the king. The king should be within the people. If the Elohim of the Basra, and one must not build a house and a gate, we should separate him from the poor people. But the only should be capable of hearing on me and knock on the door and the gate. Otherwise he shouldn't build that house. Applies the mirror too. Applies the mirror too. It's not what?
Why does Yisrael get a whole parsha because he set up intermediaries instead of Mishpat?
That is hard. Because really, if he appeared before Meshi, and Meshi refers, I mean, to somebody who should do it in his place, I mean, it's all right. But everybody had a right to appear before Meshi. Did Meshwafot had a single problem, and they are Pastor Beno, they are seeing the Rashido. They stood up here. They stood up here. The man was only back there.
Why is he overstepping the Sanhedrin?
There are certain things that we need the Sanhedrin. All right, you need Sanhedrin. All right, if the Melech, if it's a problem in the process from the Ashete or the Dachas, the Melech will be resolved forever. But matter is the Melech could resolve, could adjudicate, and to the gate, he did it himself. But it's not a question that he did it himself, that he was given the opportunity to it, and that everybody had the opportunity to appear before the king and to complain and to petition the king and to have the king intervene. And I want you to know, this is not a sign, and that is not a sign of a primitive government, as many political scientists will tell you. On the contrary, an advanced government, a modern government, does not mean a government which is removed from the people and separated from the people. It's a sign of a moral government. And the moral government is liberates for Israel. If my heart beat reflect, actually, the suffering of the people, then I have to be accessible. But otherwise, my heart cannot represent the people as such. This is Mishpat, number one. Number two, Mishpat means accessibility. Number one. No distance should separate the Melech from the people. Number two, what else? What's understood by Mishpat, huh? What's understood by Mishpat? No, you're not speaking the newcomer come to say, no, it's not, I'm not yet, I'm at Mishpat. What does Mishpat mean? First of all, accessibility.
Yeah.
Accessibility. No isolation. Please, no isolation of the king from the people. Secondly, of course, the Melech himself, if he's capable of, should resolve, adjudicate, controversies and conflicts and litigation. All matters of litigation. Correct? But this itself is Dionys, Rabboni. You have a burden to it, so your burden also resolves. Controversies or problems or Or mitigation, many methods of mitigation.
Could there be
Nishpat
that concerns the
Klal Yisrael? No, I'll not get that. What is
Nishpat?
Nishpat, first of all, means the Melech should not be fearful. To administer Nishpat, justice, is not always easy. Sometimes it's quite easy, but sometimes it's very difficult. I still, I'll never forget in my life that when I became a rov in Boston, I was very young without experience, and I had two dinners, I'll never forget those two dinners. You see, in order to actually to administer justice and to resolve, any problem or any litigation matters, any matter of litigation in accordance with the Dina Tere, one must be courageous. Now the question is, this applies not only to Melech, to everybody. Listen, go with me, Ish. Don't fear us, don't fear on any human beings. If litigation is before me, so just render the verdict in accordance with the principles of justice. And don't, so why is Melech singled out from Mishpat? Why is Melech singled out from Mishpat? I don't understand. But this applies not exclusively to Melech. It is actually relevant to every dial.
Because Melech can get away with it. He can change the law.
He can't change the law. No one can change the law.
Not even the law.
He said that he can't change the law.
In my opinion, Erfurt Kosher, Erfurt Rach. One is a meek person, cool, not prominent, an anonymous person completely. I know. The Erfurt Kosher, powerful, tough and hard, vindictive, is actually Kishmad Ibrahim before you had the argument. You don't know who is going to vindicate, who is going to lose. After Rashoim is telling, you can say, I don't know. However, if you let them argue the case, then you know that the strong, powerful, rich person is going to lose, and the poor person is going to win. After Rashoim is telling, you cannot abstain already. You cannot withdraw. Once you listen to the argument, and you know who's right and wrong, so you cannot withdraw from the case. Now, then I'm always a guru mitnish. But a dying one concession is made to the dying. Before the arguments were presented to him, and before he acknowledged, he knew who is right, who is wrong, he has the right to withdraw himself, not disqualified. To withdraw, we have disqualification. How can disqualify? Disqualified to render decision to withdraw. A dying can do that. A Melech can. But a Melech is required more. Even if he doesn't know. And it might be that the person who loses the head of an opposition party, and she's very powerful, and he might actually, organize an insurrection or a rebellion, he cannot withdraw. Now, if the Guru Mitzvah with regard to Melech is by far stricter and more inclusive than the Guru Mitzvah who then applies that Adayim. This is Mishpat. And that's what the Rambam says. The Lishbeir Zreya Rishoyim. The Lishbeir to break the arm of wickedness. If the Rambam says Zreya means it's a powerful arm. A Melech should never hesitate to engage in a controversy with a powerful person or with a powerful movement or with a powerful ruler. He should never hesitate to do so, because any withdrawal on the part of Melech is forbidden.
while with regard to an ordinary Dayan, in certain situations, the tailor had understood with the Dayan and permitted him to withdraw and some involvement. Right? It's not. What else? What else? What else is under Mishnah? Accessibility of the king, and then prohibition of withdrawal under all circumstances. What else comes under Mishnah?
Establish a policy of honesty.
We mean establish a policy of honesty. But I don't know what it is.
You know, to create a climate in which
honesty can flourish. Yeah, you know how climate is created by practicing it. There is a controversy, there is a contradiction between Mishpat and Tocher. Mishpat means strict justice. Strict justice. Tocher means already, as already has an element of charity, of understanding, of sympathy, of compassion. So what does the Gemara say? How did David practice Mishpat and Tocher? How did he practice? What does the Gemara say? First of all, he used to render a verdict, a strict verdict in accordance with the law. Reuven chayev, Reuven guilty, Shimon not guilty. Reuven has to pay to Shimon. If Reuven was rich, of course there's no problem. They can afford to pay, $500 to Shimon, and the controversy is terminated. However, if Reuven is poor, and he loses, the Chazal say, Adonis used to take money out of his pocket and compensate. Is the Melech supposed not only to administer justice? The justice should never be cruel. Sometimes justice, strict justice, has an element of cruelty sometimes. Sometimes it is complete. You have not to be ruthless in order to administer justice or to render a verdict. Which the Gemara called Yikei Vadim Yisrael, the law should pierce for the mouth. Or another interpretation. Mer Hamishpat Yamdot. It means strict justice. It's of course a Dayan, you know, when two litigants appear before a Dayan, what does a Dayan do? He asks what he wants, Shore or Din. If they say they insist upon Din, that Dayan has no right, to interfere, has no right to intervene, he has to render the verdict. The poor man lost, it's not the fault of the Dayan. However, in Melech, even when he renders the verdict in accordance with the Din, he should see to it that the verdict should not inflict harm upon a pressing counterpart. And the Melech should see that every Mishpat be accompanied by an act of charity of Tzofot. By Yidovit, Eise Mishpat of Tzofot.
He means the Kol HaTehillim will be
fulfilled from his microphones, like you have thought to. That's what it means, Mishpatim. All Mishpat, now we observe only half of the Tehillim. Many are lost, which we don't observe. Like Kobonis, Tum Vitar, and the Melech HaMashiach, who has restored the Tehillim to his skin and charity, totality. Maybe that's what I'm saying. Nothing to do with that. But this is Mishpatim's Dapa, correct? Now, what's next? So Mishpat has three elements. Accessibility of the king. What else? Complete lack of fear and star courage. Unconditional, unqualified courage. And secondly, what? The Mishpat should never contradict the doctrine. for me. Mishmat should always be accompanied by Tzoket. And if it's necessary, the king himself should dig into his pocket in order to compensate the personal one. Every mishpat for a king is accompanied by an act of charity on his part. This is right. Now, uli'lochei milchamei sadishem. What does it mean? Uli'lochei milchamei sadishem. It's a very acute topic, uli'lochei milchamei sadishem. What does it mean? You mean that the purpose of a king is simply to be the purpose of appointing a king, and assert itself in the king's being a warlord?
I think it means the protection of
it. Yes, no, Yeshua, the problem is not now. She ain't kid Asher Yovel at the name. When she had us Hashem kid saying the rest. Yes, correct. But what does the Ram understand by Nuchami for the Shem? The Yotso and the Nuchami is Mahat. Chazal the Gemara says, as Amir Horeb said, the Nuchami is Nuchami said. Gave him Shadu Beir Ome said, they shot him about him. It was more better. Can you see the Beir Shua Luke Hagen? The Shoftenu Malkin. And the Lalich of the door, Shalus Reiken. The new Hamas new Hamas. What did the Rambam do? The Rambam made it one word. The Amorat said the new Hamas new Hamas Reino. How war? The Rambam just changed around. He added one hate. The Elohim new Hamas Reishen. What's the difference between new Hamisayno and new Hamisarishem? What's the difference?
The Rambam Yesed Ha'Tel Ba'Mesis Magia is also using Milchama to enforce
Ma'Mesis Magia.
Ha'Yeradah. Also using Milchama.
Yes. Ein Chimal Ha'Mucham. Yes. Tzoko Yisroel Tzorim Ha'Mesir Yir. Ein Chimal Ha'Mucham. Yes. I mean, the Rambam is derived from the story of Yeshua. When Yeshua sent Pirfas in the Lord Rakei.
Even to enforce
so long. And by it good news. Correct. So what? The Deichim Ole Anuchama. So what is, but I mean, I would like to understand the difference between Nuchamis Eno, which the Gemara rejected, and Nuchamis Hashem, which the Gemara the Ram accepted.
Later, the Ram again later used the same thing in the Mary Jew.
More and more, whatever the thing is, not violated. But it means that the
No. Yes, sir. The
Rav
said before
that the Bosnian can be taken or will come under different categories. Under different categories.
Excuse me.
The Rav speaks about water. What? Yes, against an outside enemy. Against an outside. Against an outside king.
Excuse me. Yes, sir. The Rav should have said before that he has more responsibility than the Dayan. He's going to know, he said, the Dayan would be going to know, he said. He would go further that he would have to...
All right, but what is the law? I ask you one question. What is the distinction between Yohamed Seinu, which is the more explicit law, and Yohamed Kadeshem, which the Rambam in Numeral, as one of the major objectives?
What?
For the appointment of Malach, yes? You mean Yohamed Smith? Right. Just a moment, I don't... As you recently, you couldn't speak about Muhammad. It was like speaking about the Bible. It was something which was That is academic relevance. There is no relevance at all. Now there is a problem. Jews like to walk, some reject to walk, some perfectly. And in short, you know how people are classified now according to cliché. We don't have those classifications. But we are interested in newcomer is rejected by Chazal. Yohannes Hashem is accepted, not only accepted, it's one of the main objectives which Amalek has attained. And for the attainment of that objective, Amalek is appointed the king. What is Yohannes Hashem? What is Yohannes? Let us know Nadru. What is
it? Not that.
Yes, but more, it's correct. The Chemist Hashem means a defensive war, as you know. And the Chemist Hashem is self-unhandled. Yeah, I am not just a man, just a man. We know of the concept of the Chemist Hashem too, we know. And the way the Rambam interprets the Chemist Hashem, it means it's war for unhandledness. But actually, there's no doubt that when the Ram says Muhammad al-Sher, he had him on Muhammad's knees. That's what the book says, I'm already saying, you want me more? Yes, I'll let you more. I'll let you more. You know my shit about Amorek. That Amorek is not just a race. Amorek is an ideology, a movement. Any movement to be a shit, of course. Any movement which writes on its flag, Luchumina Freedom Again, the Mizor Hashem Yisrael, they bore it. All the stages of Amorek. I heard it once from my father who came along. The Rambam says, with regard to Zainam, he says, it's Mohol Adzicho. No Zainam anymore. Because the Gemara says, all of the Achaz will do those Kalei Lechumet. When the Rambam speaks about Amolek, Mitzvah says, Lachri Zare Shal Amolek. I mean, the Rambam doesn't say, it's Mohol Adzicho. Where is Amolek? Why didn't the Rambam mention Mohol Adzicho? But the Torah says, if you are the least part of the Kabbalah, the Shem, the Amalek, the Amalek, the Day of Eil, it's an eternal war. Where are the Amalek? There was some Bedouin tribe, who knows what Amalek is where I mean. He tried to be the hero of it. So why is the Kabbalah the Day of Eil? But there is Amalek, this is the Alta, and hence my father was the Alta, not Ruth. My father was not Alta. The Alta, the Alta, the Alta, any woman, any group of people, any group, any sect, or any nation, which should declare war on the Jew, and whose objective should be the extermination of the Jews, is classified as a Amalek. Amalek is a movement. And there is no doubt, would anyone deny that the Nazis were Amalek? And a stigma about it, I mean, from the emotion of viewpoint. I'm speaking now about Alachi, from Alachi viewpoint. Certainly they had the status of Amalek. And so are certain the Arabs, I mean. I wouldn't say every Arab, but quite a number, but a large number of Arabs, I mean. You belong to that classification? And certain segments of the population of Russia would be classified now. Certainly the Russian government. The story, I heard a story that when Rabbi Tzaleh, that son of Rakhai, together with Rebbe Nachman Mendel, that's an ascetic in Lubavitch, visited, King Alexander the First
died in 1925.
Who's the king? Nikolai the First, he died in 1955. 1855, yes, 1855. When they appeared before Nikolai, so Vitrava Lozenera came over to the Tanakh. Correct? It was the first time that a representative of Chabad met with a representative of the Goyen school, and together they coordinated their efforts in order to petition the king and the government on behalf, that time they wanted to expel all Jews from the villages. And the edict was about to be issued, that no Jew may possess real estate in Russia. Realia, real estate in Russia. And they were to be expelled from their property to be confiscated. And they went to Petersburg to petition the king, he should rescind this edict. Anyway, they lost. And they didn't accomplish much. But then come when they left the king, they were received by the king, and they left the king. So a bit of a came over to Radmendelev. So Radmendelev is an ascetic. He was a grandson of the Rav, the Tanya. And he told him, I know, I'm not a mind reader, but I know what you are thinking about. So the ascetic turned around and said, how do you know? But I don't know how, no, but I can read your mind now. That you are practicing Maxim, Balogin began to practice Maxim, as we have seen him, I mean. You? So he said, it's not a Maxim. But what do I have in mind? I said, you thought that Nikolai is the typical representative of Amore. That's exactly what I said. So Nikolai, whoever knows the history of Nikolai the First in relation to the Jews. So Amore is not referred not to a race anymore. It's a movement, to an ideology, to a philosophy of race. There is no doubt that this is Mohammed Sanchez, no doubt. That you're coming against Amore and Mohammed Sanchez, of course. Mm-hmm. But I want to be more precise. What is Mohammed
Sanchez?
Who is the tune in and another? Fine, all right, I mean, I'm going to. But what is Mohammed Sanchez in contradistinction? I don't deny that this suggestion that Amore is a Mohammed Sanchez, no doubt. The Yoda of this form, you're homo la descenda Amore, Medea. You don't need any proof from me. The first is called in Mohammed Amore, Mohammed Sanchez. But however, there is something else. Because Mohammed Sanchez, Chazal say, Ein Hashem Sholem, Ein Akitze Sholem, the Yod al Kesto, missing the Aleph in Kitze, and in Koro is missing the two letters, a Havaya, which should supplement, I mean, the word, I mean, into Havaya. Missing, Akshe Yachris Yachrisu Zari Shalamash. But in other words, what does it mean? What does Chazal have in mind when he said, in a key and a kissy showing, being a shame showing, actually a priest to Zari Solomon. What does it mean?
The white house,
yeah, what do you want to say?
I want to say that the Muhammad Amalek is always prefaced by a period of peace where Amalek doesn't bother you.
No. I'm asking what Chazal meant. In a kissy showing. It means God is not a throne. Let us translate it. In a piece of short list. God is not a throne yet. The Malchus of HaKadosh Baruch is not complete. He's impaired. He's impaired. And his name is impaired, not complete. Just thought. As long as Amalek existed, it was. This extermination of Amalek, God's Meluch will be reestablished. And his name will be completed. What does it mean? In other words, what does it mean?
It means the United World is not itself God, is it? No.
Is because I'll give you an example. I don't know whether you have any idea what was going on during the Second World War on American campuses and even in many public places, how missionaries from suddenly emerged from from all corners of the earth, and encroached, actually, and converged upon American young boys and young girls, telling them, you see that the Jews made a fatal mistake by not accepting Christianity. You see how Jews are being punished now, and the people will be exterminated completely. And it was a terrific job, simply to explain to young people, I mean, that those missionaries are wrong. Because when the Jewish people were going through the night, the dark night of loneliness and destruction and extermination, and there was a possibility, Rahmanov Islam, that Hitler should, that the Jewish people should, I mean, should they be exterminated? I mean, so then what happened then? Then what would the Goyim say? That Christ has breached the covenant between Abraham and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He was Rahman al-Islam false. That the covenant doesn't belong to the people, to the Jewish people as such. The covenant is being given away to another group, to another religion, to another faith, to another ecclesia, the successor. The Jewish people actually, the wandering Jew, finally reached, I mean, an impact. And you have no idea how much the name of the Almighty was glorified and extolled, and the Malchus re-established by the establishment of the State of Israel. I'll tell you frankly, all those, I mean, I have also a lot of criticism as far as the State of Israel is concerned. A lot of criticism. I don't believe that we should subscribe to every policy of the government of Israel. We should deprive ourselves of independent judgment and understanding and discrimination. I don't think. But the State of Israel has accomplished miracles as far as the prestige, not only of the Jew in this world, as far as the prestige of Judaism, of Yahadus in the world is concerned. Now Christian theologians argue, is it the fulfillment of the prophetic pledge by God, or it is just an incident? Malchus Yisrael is just a political event, has no prophetic significance. The mere fact that they are ready to argue that theologians who never mentioned the name Jew, who never mentioned the name Jew, theologians who actually denied, I mean, the Jew has any relationship to the Bible, to the Tanakh. The Bible is Tanakh. He speaks of Christianity, Who is Israel? Christendom. Who is Zion? What is Zion? The Catholic Church. It's a false arm. Now, willy-nilly. The ones that don't belong, they can't help themselves. As Chazal says, who is this metaphysics of Rehem, events have slapped their faces. Now, try, whoever knows, the new theological literature. Trying very hard to understand. Of course, you don't want to admit it. That's the Kiddush Hashem. Nikdash Tishmi Bagayim. Any political defeat on the part of Israel and the people I'm speaking is actually impairs Kaviyochul Malchusi Shalatarish Baruch. Tarnishes the splendor and the glory of Malchusi Shalatarish Baruch, of the Tanakh, of our prophets, of our patriarchs, who what do God say? The whole of Jewish history is nothing but a hoax. We have been fighting for centuries. We shed our blood for centuries. We defended some bad spiritual values for centuries. We lived in a world of illusion or perhaps a delusion. Everything is a delusion. That's what Goyim said during the Holocaust years of the Hitler Empire in Mashiach. Goyim don't say it anymore. Goyim begin to say, perhaps there is sense to Jewish history. Who knows? Perhaps that this wandering Jew has clairvoyance. Perhaps the promises by the Nevi'im are coming true. Perhaps the Jewish Messiah is in the process of coming. Who knows? That's what goes through a gentle mind now. I'm not speaking by the average gentleman on the street, but the better, more intelligent mind. When the Jew win a war, it's not their war. is to war for the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The other wars, we don't contribute with anything to have an enhancement of the name of Israel and the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Don't contribute. Just selfish war, destructive war. Those wars are not Muhammad Hashem. But a Muhammad we actually, open up before the world the glory and the new horizon of Jewish thinking and Jewish hope and Jewish clairvoyance and Jewish prophecy. That Muhammad is Muhammad Hashem. Not every Muhammad is to be glorified, but certain Muhammads are unavoidable, inevitable, before the Muhammad Hashem. As a matter of fact, I can tell you, it's hard to say, in my opinion, the two wars, not the middle war. 1956, I have doubt whether it was a Muhammad Hashem. The proof, why am I in doubt? Because we didn't actually utilize or exploit the opportunity. We just lost so many people and we withdrew, to the old border. I don't believe Jewish prestige was enhanced by the Suez War in 1956. I doubt it very much. It was just a Muhammad, the Indian Muhammad, a Muhammad. Perhaps we were cheated by France and England. Perhaps, possible. All right. America, too. All right, I don't know. Fine dollars. Yes, but however, all right, this is a good excuse and this extenuating circumstance. Yes, it's a mitigating factor. But that does not mean, that does not make the war a Muhammad Hashem. I have no doubt that the war of independence and the war of defense, if they were, it was a Muhammad Hashem. So they changed the climate. They changed the climate, the prestige of the Jew. And the prestige of the Jew in Yahrus is always identical with the majesty of God. As reason. And that's what the Rambam says, the Milcha in Muhammad. The Melech must understand and discriminate what kind of war is going to happen, and what kind of war is going to engage. Is it just a war, for just expansion, or is it a war by which we will win not only political victory or military victory, but a spiritual victory for those who have denied, actually, our right to live and to exist, and to actually, and to consider ourselves the heirs and the successors of Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov. This is Muhammad tradition. All right? This is a very important attribute. It's an important attribute not only of America, of any government. Any government. In my opinion, 1956 was a mistake. Now, the Rambam says something else. So how many objectives did we enumerate?
Three.
Ichud Umo, uniting the people.
Mishpat.
Umyokhamet.
Three.
Now, he says, Uti Magamosei, the Rambam has the fourth objective. Utihi magamosei umachshaptei lehorim dafu emes. Now this. Okay, now what do you say? Utihi machshaptei umagamosei. His intention and his yearning should be, striving should be, to enhance or to raise How can one actually raise the doctrine, elevated that way, and enhance. What are the means of enhancement?
I think that is a noun here.
Das is a noun, and emes is mikus, it is genitive. Das is nominative, das shall emes. Das emes means das shall emes. There is no adjective at all. Das emes means das It depends on what case MS is, in genetic case or in nominative case. If das she MS, if both are in nominative case. If das shall MS means that das have the truth, it means being in genetic case. But semantically it's the same. Semantically there is not a big, one bit of difference. So what does it mean? I want to understand how did the Rambam imagine it. Yes, fine, I know what that doesn't understand. You mean by example? By living, I mean, a life. If the elevator is his own house, then the data MS falls down. But if his mother, and on the contrary, ignores his own desires, his data is all right. But what else? It is very important. Something very important. Yeah, that's what was said already. Exemplary behavior. Yeah, that's what was said already. It means that none should see that no car should take place on Shabbat. If a boy appears, petitions the person for deal, that deal should be performed in accordance with the law. No lightning here, nobody thought it came here with both of them. Because it's Israel now. I understand that. That the Melech should prevent the king from having a grusha. I'm enumerating all things which actually which orthodoxy is indicted. Using the language of Karen from the Arab to help the obscurantist, the Rabbani. This is one of the objectives. I mean, of the kings. All right, that's a lot of that. I thought. But this is not the only thing that we're having that. There is more than means also to raise its prestige. Not a law, it means to make it a reality, or to enforce it, but actually to enhance it, to elevate it.
And it's already mutually exclusive,
first and second. I doubt it very much, anyway. This is an Israeli convention is coming. I'm not concerned with that. If you want to apply powder and rouge to the aloha, and something introduced the aloha as a young mother lady, I mean, I have to do it. But to me, the older Lord and the older Rinpo is very dear, and I want to follow the Lord. And that's why, I mean, many things we are invited to not use those. We want to enforce religion. That's not for us. We want to do it. That's our job and that's our task. We don't need any approval by the Harris or the Dabar or Goldenheim. It's very simple. Very simple. I believe that the Mizrahi would have taken his position clearly, and not speaking ambiguities and not using the physical language. But say that's our position, we'll fight for that position, this is our ideology. I believe it would have been respected more by the secularism than the movement is now. Anyway, it's a different story. But what does that mean? It's the shoulder. What else? To raise the prestige of that. Yes. How do you raise the prestige of that? Israel, suggested before.
Showing how
to? Yeah, I mean, to show the Haris, I mean, the Tassorim, the Siopter, the Tevet Mar. To show the beauty of the Daphanes. Daphanes is beautiful. In spite of the Adapin, we accept it. Still beautiful. It's a very good looking lady. Daphanes, I mean, Tassorim, the Siopter, the Tevet Mar. Wonderful. But how do you show it? By two ways. First of all, by example, and I want to say something. Example means not only piety in the strict sense of the word. If we enjoy particular term, but it means also moral and ethical. In my opinion, the Orthodox Jew should not only be pious, but also moral as well. Ethics and morality are a part of piety. There is no piety. Piety is not restricted to the ritual. The Torah has never spoken of the ritual separately and the ethos separately. The Torah is basic theorization. The Torah speaks basic theorization with the Catholic, the Shoshua Shoker, the Fourth of Ram, and then there is the Torah Hashem. We'll pay from this bottle, which Hamas has got from the next war, to let the people in the lobby, they should say that Yishmael, 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 so the Torah speaks about the ritual commandment, and the next moment, the Torah introduces an ethical law, an ethical norm. There is no difference, there is no distinction, I mean. The Torah is in its entirety, I mean, has never been distinguished or discriminated between ethics and ritual, or between piety and morality. It's one unit, it's one entity. And it's important not only that, of course, minority soil. Let us think about American Jews, and particularly American rabbis. I believe, of course, I mean, we have made great advances in the last 20 years. They're very significant. I mean, now we have a religious youth, I'll tell you frankly. I could have never dreamt 10 years ago that 125 or 30 young boys who will teach with such a Michigan the way I am for 5 hours to study Mishnah on a Sunday from 10 to 3. And it happened yesterday. That was my job, the office phone for my mother. I study Mishnah. When I study Mishnah, it's time no object at all. So it took me 5 hours. I just finished. Stop walking missionary. And I had young boys who sat with me from 10 until 3 at what happened to me. 5 hours, straight through. And they discussed missionary. And the boys are students at various universities. They're not about plain boys that come from elevated homes, most of them. And somehow, I mean, they found Yehadus, I don't know where, on the street or on the campus, I don't know where, but not in their parents' home, definitely not. When the boy is wrong to shoot him, whether it's conceptually or still yet, it doesn't matter any shear. You know that. I start the shear on time. When I end, I never know. I start the shear 8 o'clock. When I end, you never know. You have to stay with me the whole night. And this is actually, we have accomplished a great deal, particularly through our baseball. We have accomplished. I mean, yes. However, The final word has not been spoken yet. Who will win the battle in America between orthodoxy and the dissident groups like conservatives and reform Jews? There is no prophet who can foresee. In my opinion, the battle will be won by the party which will understand to do two things. Number one, it will excel not only as far as piety is concerned, but as far as morality is concerned. The Orthodox rabbi will be accepted by the entire community, and the Orthodox rabbi will show the community that he wears not only yarmulke, but more than that, that he is a moral personality, head and shoulders above the reform and conservative rabbi. That he is not out for publicity, forgive me. He's not a publicity hound, that he is not a lover of money. I don't say money is rare, but however, there is a difference between earning a dollar and between loving a dollar. That he's not in love with money, and that he is more sincere and more committed and more persistent with himself than the conservative and the reform rabbi. That will decide the battle. Morality, higher morality, superior morality. And the American Jew, I want to tell you, the American Jew is very intelligent. He's intelligent, he's discriminating, he's understanding. I have great faith in the American Jew. Secondly, the battle will be decided, the outcome of the battle will be decided also by intellectual achievement. For instance, if the Orthodox rabbi will be head and shoulders above the conservative and reform rabbi as far as knowledge is concerned, and I mean knowledge in the widest sense of the word, as far as knowledge of Yahadut, you have the profound view, you have sweep, and you're able to reach out for horizons, for new horizons, and the intellectual field, Yahadut, you'll be the winner. Morality and intellectuality, in fair knowledge, in the widest sense of the word, will actually decide the outcome of the battle. The battle has not been decided yet. The outcome is not, we don't know yet how. This is number one. The Orin Das Emes means, first of all, we're living, as you said before, living an exemplary life, and secondly, by what? By Yediyah Sater. And here we come to the most sublime and noble objective of Malthus. Namely, the Melech should be the great scholar. The Melech should be the great teacher. The Melech is not only a political figure, the Melech is a spiritual figure. He is the teacher par excellence. Rule. So the job of the Melech is not only to rule, his task is not only on the intelligence of the people, his task is not only to resolve controversies or adjudicate cases, his task is not only to give an example to the people by his own life, but his task is also and foremost to teach the people. Is the Melech a teacher or isn't he? If you tell it, to a political scientist, he'll laugh at you. Teachers are at the university. Governor, speaker of the government is Washington. The president of the United States is not a teacher. He's an executive. But this is not the Jewish viewpoint. The Melech is a teacher. The greatest of all teachers. namely, Moshe Rabbeinu Melech, who appointed him. Who appointed, by what virtue, who was he, king? He was the greatest of all kings. By Yibishu Melech, the Tzatzim Hashem Yachachit Yisrael. has gone to many regimes to work not in transformation, not as a result. But Greek is a regime. The transformation among regimes. Yes. Who appointed? Who appointed Meishe? Meishe was a Miller by virtue of what? Of being Rabbeinu. Of being the teacher. Of being the teacher. Because he taught the people. By teaching the people, he fixes it. By teaching the people, and he transforms the people. For instance, is there a mitzvah of teaching which obligates the Melech Hakim? The Sefer Hakim shows it. Teach where Sateva is. Why couldn't the Balkan do it? Why couldn't the mean one of the Melech adjutants do it? Because Lambda is in Israel. Because the Melech is on the Lambda. The Rambam speaks about the Melech, and you know very well that there are two mitzvahs. Talmudere is a mitzvah which is binding on everybody. Talmudere includes everybody and breaks everybody. The Rambam says, Benoshe, Benoni, Rich, Opu, Benchele, Ben Bal Yisurim, Sikh, or men who suffer, and he's a cripple on him, or a man sound of mind and body. Talmudere obligates obligation on everybody. There is no exception to Talmudere. But there is one exception, namely, there is an additional mitzvah of Talmudere as far as Melech. It's not only Ksidim. As far as Melech is concerned, the Talmudere, before they kill Michael. Yeah, Melech is obligated to study the Torah because he is a king. And as a king, he's got to be a scholar. You know, the best proof for it is that the Sefer Tefillin contains one chapter. It's very long one. It's called Zman Yaakov. What is extolled in Zman Yaakov? Teren, who is the one who studied the Torah, who is in love with the Torah, the Torah is a fixation for him, he is never in love with David Malachi. And that's why he's never there in love with the Torah. And that's why Chazal, when they speak of David, they portray him as a Rosh Yeshiva. David had to Israel or to Israel. And how is the strike? Well, how is the strike? He's big enough. They say, but they are not always of them. David is the great, because David is the ideal king. David is the great scholar. The same as Melech HaMashiach. Melech HaMashiach says, Vechochom Yi Yeshta Mishlene. He's the great scholar, who wiser than Shlene. Melech HaMashiach. The main objective of the king is to hold in that fairness, is by descent, by studying, by acquiring knowledge, I mean, the sky is the limit, and by disseminating knowledge of the Torah, the Holy Torah. And that's why the Gemara speaks about the first CEO, one of the ultimate kings during the first time. That's the idea of the king. It's a head of justice. The Aesig Batero by Yemen Balayo. Yes. What else? So how many do we have? How many have you?
Four.
Four.
All right.
Four.
Four.
Would you agree with the mic? Now, next, what is the objective? This is exactly what we are supposed to do. I want you to understand the Jewish community in general. I mean, what I'm saying here might be considered by many as a heresy. But it is not a heresy. It is not a good. It is good. The Jewish community has never taken any pride in being a political community. And I don't mean to somehow be critical of the faith. The Jewish community has always been a scholastic. The great person in the Jewish community was never the king. Was the Kenobi or the scholar later. Never a king. Every king had a Novi. Every king, David had nothing of it.
Good.
אני יהובם, יהובם רחבם את אחי השלני. אני אך עובד עם יהו, יהיר עומד עם מישה. נחפתי יוהד איש היהו, ויש יהו הד יום יהו, חוג עם יהיה. וסופו, every king had an order. And basically, in the central personality, he was not a king. Did not be determined policy, did not be made policy, did not be retention of the king, did not be as reprimanded the king, the final say belongs to him. And after the second Commonwealth was established, so the Novi was replaced by the Russians. Always our ideal community, it's not mutually exclusive. The political community serves as a means, but the ideal community is either the prophetic community or the scholastic community. This exactly is another combined both political power and scholarship, or political power and clairvoyance, Ruach HaKodesh. Then, of course, the community is the ideal one. It is both the political community as well as the prophetic community, and it's personified by the Jews. That was the community of David HaMelech, that was the community of Moshe Rabbeinu, that was the community, this will be the community of the Melech HaMashiach. The prophetic, scholastic community, which also happens to be politically independent. Which also happens to be politically independent. And that's what the Rambam says, Rambam the Braise Sholish Mitzvahs Mitzavu Yisrael Vishasem Tosom Lohoret Limle Yisrael Melech. And what is the Melech supposed to do? What the Melech supposed to do? What do we require of the Melech? Two things. What? The half is that it's a point. It means the extermination of evil. And the living is based up to what is the base up to a base command? The center of Nebuya, Ruach HaKodesh, and the center of the seat of the Sanhedrin. I mean, which was just quoted and almost quoted, there's Nagorno Shiroshalai, in Mikya Tero Shibalte, Vein Amude Eroye, Umehem Chokul Mishpot, Yeitze Lefoy Yisrael. These are the Melech combines both attributes, prophecy, clairvoyance, and scholarship in his personality, but not every Melech was capable, or the Melech contributes his share, that such a center should be established, a center of scholarship and clairvoyance, merging to Russia.